Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Bringing you the heart of the music. Impact 103.
Welcome everybody to another installment of Surviving Life with the Vambillies. We've got exciting news for you today. We're actually live. We're back live. I'm excited to be back and I'm not alone as usual. I'm joined by my wonderful somebody, Better Half and Other Scriptures. Danny V, how are you doing?
Better Half and Other Scriptures.
There's too many. How are you doing this morning?
No, I am doing okay. How are you, Lady V?
I'm awesome. I'm particularly excited about today's episode because last week was all about you. It's time to give the ladies some shine.
Yeah, as you can hear, even my voice knows, like my voice is not 100% today. We're fighting a lot at home. I'm joking, guys.
Wow.
The flu, I had a little bit of a flu and but I'm here and I'm glad it happened this week because it's not my day to speak.
Whew, but it is your day to ask questions, though. So today, we're talking about women and their stuff. If you were with us last week, you would have realized that we started a two-part series talking about men and their stuff last week. And today, it's all about us. And we're talking about how is it that we as women navigate this world while still trying to be holy, following the gospel and listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot deny that this world affects how we see ourselves and therefore even affects how we see scripture.
Yeah, so all the guys out there, I need your help today, all right? If you've got any questions that you want us to ask the ladies.
Oh my goodness, why did we have to be live on the ladies' day?
Our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376. You make sure your wife is listening. You make sure your mother's listening. You make sure your aunts are listening. We are questioning the ladies today. Are you ready?
No, never ready, but super excited. I want to hear from the ladies too. So remember, if you've got any comments, 073-364-0376. It's time for the recap. If you joined us last night between 6 and 6:30 p.m., then you would have heard the intro of today's conversation, Women and Their Stuff. And so, not going too much into it, I'd rather, Danny, do you have any questions about women and their stuff?
Well, I've got a lot of questions, Letitia.
Start with one, please, I beg.
Okay, so if we can just maybe pull up our scripture.
Okay.
All right, because I feel 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 6 is specifically addressing wives. And it starts there by saying, wives, you know. So I know this isn't necessarily for the single woman, but we want to invite them on the table because they're also going to be wives according to God's plan. I'm not dictating the woman's life. I'm just saying, you know. But there's something that's brought up here. It says your beauty should not come from outward adornment only. And then it breaks it down as an elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Now, I wonder, why is it that the only? Scripture is saying that it shouldn't just be that. But I think sometimes wives have translated that to mean the scripture is saying it shouldn't be that at all.
Okay, we're going to come to that. Because there's a point in the show for the wives. I want to start with all the ladies all first. Because today is just women and their stuff. And the way in which society dictates how we think. If you joined us last week, then you would have seen that what we're trying to talk about in these last two episodes that we've done is that we are not out of our context. That's something we must always remember, because...
But what do you mean we are not out of our context? That sounds so psychological.
Unfortunately, we are products of our environment, and there's a lot of subconscious, which means it's not known to your everyday thinking, that makes us believe things about our womanhood or our manhood that's not necessarily aligned with scripture. So if I look at some of the ways that women are raised today, the feedback from the world is either we are hypersexualized, so your appearance is the most important thing about you. Use that to get money, use that to get fame, use that to get everywhere you need to go, or it's completely about being successful to prove a point. It's success to a vengeance. It's not even a holy success. Like we see in scripture, there are successful women. But it's almost like we are told to be successful, either to fight the patriarchy or fight all the women in our lives who told us we couldn't be anything. But the global feedback for a young girl growing up is very external. You know, you spoke of 1 Peter 3. Verses 1 to 6, if you guys want to follow our principal scripture. And that scripture is talking about how your beauty is more than just what's on the outside. Yet my feeling as a woman who's grown up in society is that the focus is external. Be externally successful, be externally beautiful, exude all the things that say I'm okay. And as it relates to women, there isn't so much focus on the inside. You don't get movies of girls being told you're a wonderful person, you're empathetic, you're kind, you're godly. You rather get movies of girls being told be a scientist, be a doctor, be an engineer, or use your looks to get far. And those things are not inherently bad, but they're not the whole of the gospel. So us as women in the faith who are trying to do this walk with God, it can intervene in the way that we see our lives, even when we're trying to walk with God. And then in turn, it affects the kind of wives and mothers that we become, which is something we're coming to later that I know you are very, very excited about.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to hear a woman addressing these things, because I don't think there's space for men in this century to address it, because everything is seen as patriarchy. You know, if we ask a question, it's like, yeah, you're monitoring us as women. You don't want us to do this. You don't want us to be. And some of the things are things that need to be addressed so we have better just relationship between men and women. You know, I want us to understand, what are these voices coming from society? What are they saying? What is the pressure? Because as a man, I can't understand it, right? Because, of course, last week we discussed our part of it, you know. So if we're talking men issues, you know, as a man would be able to put it out. Now, when you're saying that there isn't an encouragement for inner beauty.
Yeah.
Is this on Instagram? Is this on,
I think,
on social media? Is it TV? Is it the women around you? Is it the older women?
I think we take for granted social conditioning. A lot of us women will say things like, no, but my mother was about inner beauty. My mother taught me that it's more than just your looks and success and all that. And people will say that as a rebuttal. But that's why I started the show by saying we are not excused from our context. There is a messaging that Hollywood gives, that the world gives, that our environment gives us, that can even affect how we are even when we come to the Lord. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Do not change the dial. Putting Lady V on the hot seat today. I'm so happy to be sitting on this side and not that side. Lady V, what can you tell us? How are these mindsets that the world, or the constructs that women are living in, how does it affect them when they become believers and they come into the Lord?
I think that as women in current day society, we don't have a holy perception of beauty, and it's hard to have a holy perception of success. So two things I've seen happen when we come to the Lord. Either we leave all of beauty, you know, and we're still coming to the topic of you asking why we're not adorning ourselves in our marriages. That's going to be interesting. But either we leave it all together and we say, makeup is of the devil, jewelry is of the devil, and we leave all of that. Or we come in with warped perceptions of those things. I mean, some people will even leave conventional notions of success and think that, you know, it means that I just have to be at home and he has to be the one that's working, and that's okay. But if you've listened to the show before, it's more important to be led by the Holy Spirit than to be led by our warped perception of the world. Someone is a Mary and is a housewife and they're called to do that, but someone is also a Proverbs 31 woman who's working the field. And so what can happen with warped perceptions of beauty and success is that someone who's a Proverbs 31 woman thinks it's virtuous to sit at home because she's seen how the corporate world has perverted relationships between, or balances of power, if you will, between the male and the female species. And that's the most dangerous thing, is to come into Christ and still have worldly perceptions. Or you see someone dressed in church how they should be dressed at date night, because they actually believe that adornment is a gift that God has given women. But it's a belief in error, because the world is so hyper-sexed that we don't get that there are places, there are appropriate places for that, and there are inappropriate places for that. So when we're coming in the presence of the Lord, yes, we should be respectful because we are coming in the presence of God. We should make an effort. But what kind of effort? You know, as a woman, we can be so perverted in what is beauty. We're thinking, I'm going to look nice for church. But when you look at the niceness for church, you're like, this is inappropriate. Yeah. And it's because the world has gotten into our heads about what is beautiful and what is successful. A good example I saw on TikTok recently about coming into marriage with warped perceptions of success. There was a lady saying her wedding vows. And the priest said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. She combated the priest and she said, for richer. And the priest thought he was having a stroke. So he repeated. I could see the shock on his face. He said, for richer, for poor. And she said, no, for richer. And I looked at this and I said, ooh, somebody told this one, come into this house, assert yourself. You must have money. He must take care of you. He's the man. You know, we come into our homes with these perceptions of the world, and there's not too much of an understanding that what God wants to do with the two of you is individual anyway. It's not these global ideas, and that's part of the issue. We want to be activists inside the house. Those are the kind of women society is building, that's saying, go and fight a cause with your husband. Now, you may have a cause with the world, but you don't have a cause inside your house like that. Sometimes you're fighting the world inside your home. And this is what society is breeding in women, where we're not giving the people in our lives enough of a space to show who they are. We come in with a default of, you're going to marginalize me, you're going to oppress me. That's why on your wedding day, you're already thinking, no, we're not going to be poor. You're fighting the priest and you're fighting your vows. So this is the ways in which it can affect us when we come to the Lord. The most important thing is to truly have our minds renewed and to acknowledge some of how we see the world is dictated by social narratives. And the Holy Spirit needs to speak into that. The Holy Spirit needs to heal that.
Now, how would such a person deal with the normal problems in a marriage setup? Because we know, men, women, our minds are different. We see things differently. We think differently. And in any marriage, there's a coming together that needs to happen. Now, with what you're telling us, essentially, now we're going to have problems when we're just dealing with the day-to-day stuff. Can me preferring Rama turn into...
the patriarchy?
Yeah.
Very easily.
The patriarchy is determining the butter at home.
Very easily. And I think this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to delve into it even deeper on how these social narratives can begin to affect you at home. And you're now a feminist and an activist because someone wants Rama and they don't want Rondo. It's not that deep. You're not fighting the whole world inside your household. And it's important to have these conversations because sometimes we don't realize that the things we fight for in the marriages are actually created by how your boss is treating you at work.
Or what if it's trauma from your household?
How many times did I fight you?
Not necessarily in your marriage.
How many times did I fight you because I was fighting my household?
A lot.
Uh-huh. We need a to lot. Come back we, for this.
Guys, yeah, she's saying herself. No, but you know what, Letitia? I'm so glad we can talk about this. To normalize the realities that couples go through, especially when they're coming together, especially to all our new newlyweds out there, 071-364-0376. We having a conversation. And yes, even women, you can send your questions in. If you're hearing Letitia say something and you're thinking, yeah, but how do I deal with it, Letitia? How do I deal with it?
Or even if you're thinking this is my truth, tell us more. You're listening to Toby Mac with A Deeper, and that's exactly what we're doing today. We're going deeper into the women topics and how narratives from society can affect who God has truly called us to be. Danny, I believe you have a question for me according to 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. This is you've been hammering it in. Also, we're seeing your messages on 071-364-0376. Remember, in the second half of the hour, we delve into them.
I'm even today. I want to go in.
Oh, wow. You see, Danny's too excited to have me in the hot seat.
Because Deanne Foster just sent us this. Sorry for saying your name, bro. I should have not said that. But it's too late. My wife is a big head in her job, but she brings that into our house where sometimes I have to tell her, listen, you're not at work now. I don't work for you. And that sometimes gets me down because I feel sometimes that I'm not in control like a man should be.
This is exactly what we're talking about today. It's a tough topic for us ladies because I have to also say this. The world has currently conditioned women to think they can never be wrong. A woman is never wrong. Think of your moms. A mom is the rock of the family. She can be the most abusive, narcissistic, ungodly conduct, but you can't say anything to her because she's mom. And how has the world created this? Because, well, of the oppression of women that is very well documented in history. And now, in an attempt to resolve the oppression that has been there for so many years, we're doing it in a way, we're doing it in a humanoid, manly way. You know, only God is perfection. So in our attempts to kind of level the playing field, we've gone all the way left. And so you've got young girls growing up in a world where they're perfect. Mm. If you look at the social narrative, it's no matter how you look, no matter how you do, you're beautiful, be confident, no matter what.
You're a queen.
You're a queen without anything that gives you the attributes of a queen. And I'm always asking ladies, like, when Meghan Markle became royalty, did you guys see what changed in her life? She had to cut off her social media. She had to change her dress code. She had to become more closed off. And we've got young girls being told you're a queen while behaving anything other than a queen, right? Mm. And so this perfection that has now been ascribed to women as a social narrative means that within the home, it's hard for us to take criticism, especially in a world that is now so pro-women that the boy child is now being left behind. It's a reality that we have to deal with. And so when you're a big shot outside the house and everyone's telling you how wonderful you are, we can forget that that's what I do outside. When I come home, the principles of scripture apply in my house. This is why we're having this conversation, because a lot of relationships and marriages are being negatively affected by women of God who have been infected with a social narrative that does not allow us to be the godly women that scripture speaks about, because we keep on fighting this patriarchy, even in a house with someone who allows us to talk and be and allows us to have space as we allow each other. You know, even when I say allow, the social narrative is already saying, he can't allow me. No, we allow each other. I allow my husband space. He allows me space. Now, even certain words are buzzwords for fights.
Yeah.
Because how can you allow me? I'm an adult. I'm allowed to do what I want.
Yeah.
Social narratives coming into the home, overriding God's perfect will for marriages.
I've even heard things that are quite sad. For example, there's almost like a discouragement of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give your husband positive feedback because he's supposed to do that anyway.
He's supposed to do it. Like, what do you mean? I'm glad you took care of the kids today. You're supposed, they're your children, you're parenting.
So now I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Letitia, those voices are loud. All right. How does a woman who's especially a godly woman balance the voices of the world versus the Holy Spirit and scripture?
I think prioritizing your relationship with God and your quiet time with God is number one. And that's really hard to do as any adult, to give time to God where it's just you and Him. I think in general, we've got so many voices speaking to us all the time. But to make time, to spend time with the Holy Spirit is hard. When the Holy Spirit leads you, He will never lead you in a divisive manner, because that's not the character of God. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in a way of unity and oneness, especially as it relates to marriages. If scripture says that every woman should submit to her husband, then the Holy Spirit will lead you in a way that allows you to be that way within your home. I think we are getting more of the world and less of the word. Guys, you need to get you the Bible app. Okay, so during our break, we were talking about how the Bible app is led by the Holy Spirit, because it's caught me a few times. And right now, we're sitting in studio and I get this ping on my phone. Guess what verse it gives me? Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think what's important to look at here is it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That directly correlates to the fact that what's under attack for God's people in this world is the mind. When you grow up in a world that tells you, you are like this, men are like this, women are like this, you are not in your context. And so that challenging, as we spend time with the Holy Spirit, to challenge, is what I am thinking in line with God's perfect will? Or has it been affected by my experiences and the world that I live in? I think that's so important. Guys, get the Bible app. Get the Bible app.
Okay. I've got a question, Letitia. You right now would be called a patriarchy princess. So there are words that are put in place to kind of fight anyone who's trying to bring their mindset back to scripture. And now, I also need to be clear, you know, my wife works, you know, she's as independent as they come, you know. So I also know in that you get spaces where there's problems where, you know, maybe people believe women should not work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should be in the kitchen and all kinds of stuff. Okay. So now, and then you have maybe someone who's been raised under that.
Yeah.
Wanting to fight it.
Mm.
But now the worldly mindset also captures them while they're trying to free themselves from, you know, those bondages. Now, what I'm trying to ask you is, how does a woman in that space renew her mind and not fall into the false doctrines as well at the same time? Because now, can you see me? There's two tensions.
Yeah.
The one tension is trying to pull you into being this wayward person. You've got no one you submit to, not in your home, no way. No one can tell you anything.
Mm.
And then you've got someone who's saying, no, but what I was told was wrong.
Mm.
I'm trying to you know, realign.
Listen, I'm speaking from experience. Yes, I'm using scripture, but I was...
What was your experience?
I was a feminist to the superlative degree. You don't understand. In my life, marriage is my miracle. Children are my miracle. I couldn't even imagine being a mother because I knew I had to get married first. I was one of those people who couldn't imagine having children before marriage, but at the same time, I was not about to get married because I feel like I grew up in a very traditional African context.
Mm.
What I mean by traditional, I mean manly traditional.
Okay.
That whole, you're not going to work, you're going to stay at home. But in my context, the women were not happy doing that. They didn't feel called to stay at home. And so their gifts were stifled. Their intelligence, their intellects were stifled. And I worshipped academia. Guys, you don't understand. I worshipped academia because I felt like I'm done with being seen. You guys don't know the kind of problems I had with Beyonce because I felt like she was telling young girls, and probably still is, you are more important when you show your whole body than you are when you speak. And I felt like, how come her husband can be a billionaire with his clothes on, yet she can be so talented and all we see is someone who's never dressed? And I would always fight these narratives to say, why must I be undressed before you listen to me? And so I had a kind of noble feminism where I felt like, I'm going to be fully dressed, and when I open my mouth, you're going to listen to me because I'm going to read books and I'm going to be so smart. But that became the world that I worshipped. Mm. And when I started spending time with the Lord, He broke me, guys. He broke all of that. So you're not sitting with someone who's not been on the other side of the patriarchy princess, if you will. You're speaking to someone who God really had to do some proper work on and speak to her about His perfection, His perfect will, like Romans 12:2 speaks about. And when we got married, you had to deal with some of my feminist issues of, I assumed Danny wouldn't give me room to grow, to articulate, and to thrive.
And you didn't only assume. You actually had women come and tell you.
Tell me. Ooh, let me tell you. When I was getting married, I had so many older women tell me, why would you do that? And I remember I didn't even have a degree when we got engaged. And I had so many women coming to tell me, why would you get married without a degree? He will never let you study because men don't like learned women. So you see, when I'm speaking about social narratives, is you don't have to go and find it. These women heard I'm engaged. They found me. And so when I started reading scripture and started seeing that, no, man, but the Proverbs 31 woman was working in her home. And it still worked for them, and there was still submission and love and godly conduct. These are the things that changed my mind. So I'm testifying. I'm not sitting here as someone who got it right. I'm sitting here as someone who God really had to teach submission to the Word. When you submit to the Word, it will be much easier to submit even to your husband in the home.
Stay tuned. Keep sending us your WhatsApps, 071-364-0376. When we come back, we'll be answering more of your questions. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra. Going straight into our messages. First of all, Letitia, what song was that?
It was Great Awakening by Ryan...
Danny Gokey.
There we
go. Your husband. No, that wasn't me, but that was Danny Gokey. We've got a message coming in right now. It says, enjoying the topic, ask the Vambilis, who is a godly woman? And then secondly, how do you ensure that your submission is not abused by your husband?
I think I'm going to start from back to front. We need to preface this conversation, but of course it's pretty late to preface, we're an hour in, but we need to underline this conversation by saying whoever you marry will also most likely be a victim of the narratives that they were told about women.
Yeah.
It is my personal opinion that the husbands of the future might be worse.
Uh-oh.
Because we're currently living in a world where it's woman empowerment, woman empowerment, woman empowerment. And what might start happening psychologically is that men will seek to dominate the home even more. Because they're going to be so tired of the woman, woman, woman stuff outside, their woman boss, their woman this, their woman that, that when they're home, they're now going to start fighting in the home to have a voice. And I think some of the husbands we have today are fighting that, but in a very latent manner. What I mean by that is, let's look at the single parenting situation. If you're a man raised by a single mom, you are more susceptible to certain things than in a double parent household. Because if you've grown up seeing a woman in charge making decisions, even though they were good decisions, or they were bad, but let's just say they were good decisions, right? You have never seen a man take the lead. And so you don't know when it's even healthy, right? So we're not saying that we are going into homes with perfect husbands who understand not to misuse or abuse our submission. A lot of our marriages are dealing with abused submission in one way or the other. But I think shows like today can maybe give you insight, the person that's messaged, into what has caused your husband in your household to abuse your submission. I think part of the problem we face today is we are so well-read in social narratives that we have no idea what's happening in our actual house. What I mean by that is, you can think your husband is for the patriarchy because that's how men are, this general kind of thinking. But your husband could be for the patriarchy because he had a narcissistic mother. Look at your mother-in-law. Look at your husband's family. If you want to know where some of our pathological behaviors come from, look at the family. Maybe it's the work environment. I think that's part of what I'm trying to say today. The question is, what's happening inside your house? And stop bringing society inside your house, because it's hard to heal what you don't understand. If you keep fighting the fact that, oh, he's patriarchal, you're never going to get it right. It's like if someone has got an autoimmune illness, if you keep giving them medicine for flu, they could die. You have to diagnose the proper illness and medicate it accordingly.
And then how do you know abuse, if let's say you came from a single parent home,
yeah,
and you've not even seen a male authority?
How do you know that this is not, it's not the patriarchy, but it's just a man being a man in the sense that they've got the natural leadership abilities given to them by God? So if you are a woman and you grew up in a single mother household and she did what she had to do to make the house work, and remember, I'm saying she did a good thing. I'm not even speaking about those who messed up. I'm talking about the single parents that did the right thing. It still means that you've never seen a healthy male leading. Now, when you're a woman growing up with a woman in a world where you're told all men are bad, you get married, you see your husband leading, you're thinking, this man is sitting on my head. And it starts arguments in your home that are not necessary. To answer your first question, what is a godly woman? I think scripture has so many examples of how a woman can be godly. But I personally believe that the more time you spend with scripture, the more you're transformed by it. And God can lead you to a certain woman in season, and you can emulate that woman. A woman that I think is very unpopular in today's society is Abigail. Because I think that for women, we have forgotten that there are virtues in heaven for still being submissive and respectful to a husband who's abusing your submission. That's what Abigail showed us. It wasn't about Nabal and how Nabal was treating her. It was about her submission to God, and heaven honored that. And I think that's my question to modern women who are married. Our submission, is it contingent upon how Nabal is treating us, if that's your context? Or is your submission contingent upon the promises that you made to God? Because that's what we see with Abigail, and that's what blesses her.
We're playing you Kanye West. The song is called God Is. And yeah, we're having deep conversations. Letitia, Lady V. You are on the hot seat, and I want to ask a very heartfelt question. You know, and this is maybe for all the men out there that are navigating the realities that in the past there were wrongdoings done towards women.
Even now.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they are not participating in it, but have found themselves in a marriage with a person who comes from a household where they had to deal with that. Now, the person they're dealing with, let's say the wife has not yet acknowledged that her issues come from a house and not necessarily the person in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke about this earlier. Now, how do you communicate to a person, your wife, in this situation, that she has a problem without becoming the villain for raising the problem?
I don't know. Because one thing we have to be honest about is, even though I'm in the hot seat today for women and their stuff, if you didn't join us last week, we did the men's version. So don't worry, they had a grilling too. Is that, you know, the walk to being a godly woman, or aligning your will to the perfect will of God, according to Romans 12:2, it's a journey. Mm. And you're not always going to get it right. And, you know, as we sit here today, I'm not getting aspects of it right now. I think in 10 years, I'll speak about some of the things I'm getting wrong right now. And in the beginning of our marriage, when you tried to bring it up to me, like one time you said to me, you're fighting your father, you're not fighting me. And I thought, what? Who does he think he is? Until the Lord got involved and was like, yeah, you are. And I had to do some work. I think part of the issue here, and why it's hard for husbands to become the villain that then says to the wife, listen, this is not me, this is social conditioning, this is family conditioning, is that women are not having honest enough conversations with each other. There is a place, unfortunately, where a man can't speak, especially now in society, when you're being branded as this demon who, by having an opinion, you are now casted as some patriarchy king. There are certain conversations that women must open the platform for us to be honest with each other. And that's why we're doing what we're doing today, to say, my sister, I know you've been through so much in life, at work, in society, with your family, but you may not necessarily be going through that in your home, and you could be projecting onto your husband your experience outside. And maybe it's time to have the right perception of your home, the right perception of your marriage, and the right perception of your husband. Because unfortunately, the world has demonized and weaponized natural masculine behavior. Mm. If you want to provide, it's equated to you want to walk on her head. If you respond with more testosterone, you're being aggressive, and there are signs that you could beat someone. Mm. But the truth is, there's a natural biology and there's a natural call on both our lives that means we will never be the same. We will never react the same to the same things.
Yeah.
Therefore, we need to see that different reaction from a godly perspective and not from a demonic perspective, if that makes sense.
I get you. And this, I'm asking you this because when the lady asked there, how do you ensure that your submission is not abused by your husband? I felt that such a person can only a psychologist, a professional, can diagnose a problem of that level. And why I'm saying that is because submission is so hard to define, you understand? And something that someone could want from you, which is normal, you could think is abuse because your background is speaking to you.
Yeah.
And maybe if there's a psychologist or a third party or a Christian psychologist, let me add that.
Please.
Christian psychologist.
Please get a counselor that believes in what you believe in.
Who can then balance and say, listen, this is not necessarily wrong, but it's how you see it because of where you're coming from. But when we come back, I want us to go deeper into this. and then let us have that conversation. This is Lecrae. The song is called Drown, and we are helping each other to not drown in the narratives of this world, and also to be healthy, you know, in scripture. The women are very quiet today. My sisters, where are you? I'm looking for you. WhatsApp number 0713640376. We need to hear from you to know if there's questions and, you know, and things that you want liberated on. As we put Letitia on the hot seat, she's on the hot seat today, and I'm going in. Mama V, this is maybe a question that I find is very difficult, especially when we're counseling couples, where because men are made to feel now that asking for anything is abuse, we no longer even have space to communicate what we want from our wives. Mm. Now, the scripture we quoted earlier speaks about wives. Don't let your beauty only be on the outside. This scripture is already taking a position that there's already adornment taking place. Like you, because then it's specific. It goes, can you read the stuff that it calls out?
The outward adornment.
Yes.
Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight.
Let's pause there. The elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. It doesn't say here. There's no position that wives should not look good.
Mm.
Now, what you found is sometimes you'll find a husband in a situation where the wife doesn't put in effort anymore.
You mean in her appearance?
In her appearance. And yeah, you know, it's bothering the husband, but he knows if he raises anything, he's evil. He can't say nothing. He can't say, maybe, let's say if it's a weight gain issue, you can't. If it's the way she's putting herself together, he can't, because now he's abusive. Now it's patriarchy. Now you're controlling, you know. How do we deal with that?
I think when it comes to those kinds of issues, and yes, we're going that deep. When it comes to those kind of issues, it's not an isolated event, right? There is this idea, and I have seen it. I'm a woman. I've been married for almost 10 years. It's a reality where you almost feel as if, you know, I did what I did to catch the thing. Now I can rest. You know, that does exist.
Uh-huh.
Even though my personal opinion is, now there's actually more work because there's a constant in your life than even where there was before. But that's a story for another day. Uh-oh. There is that mindset. But there's also the truth that so many wives are a product of their marriages. Mm. So many wives. You can't expect a wife that cares about what she looks like in a household where she feels she doesn't have a voice, she's marginalized, she's not given space, she's not given time. Sometimes you find that the husband expects the wife to be fit and look great, but there's no allocation or budget for her to go to the gym or even walk to the park. There can be a marriage where there's a lot of insecurity, right? Now I can't walk to the park because you're going to be calling me every 2 seconds. Like, where are you? Are you with that man? A lot of marriages are not healthy enough to have these conversations without problems because there are underlying problems that makes a wife not want to look nice. Mm. That's also the truth. Mm. Even though I would encourage, scripture says, wives, beauty is not just the outside. And I would even go as far as saying Esther looked better after marriage than before, because she didn't even have money when she took a year to look good. So it is good to dress up for your husband. It is an encouraging thing. But I think marriages are going through so much, and it's showing in the way that the women present themselves.
Sure. We'll be back. Someone just said, Tulani, yep, you guys are being irrelevant. All right, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Hi, guys. I love your chat. moment, the way I see it is, in a marriage, one would hope that it is a loving relationship. And with me and my husband, I ask his opinion because it matters to me. And if he says, well, babe, there's just no more of you, and but it doesn't bother me, but you he would give me his honest opinion. And I think that is crucial for any marriage, that once you ask your spouse for his or her opinion, that they should be truthful and in a loving manner. So that is my opinion. God bless. Bye.
Oh, that was beautiful. Church Ablaze with Jesus, My Hope. We're getting into your messages. Danny, tell us what we've got.
All right, so we've got quite a lot of good messages coming in. Someone just said here, yep, you guys are relevant. Marriage does not make you, it breaks you up until you become one. It's not a place where we come in and go. It's God's institution. That is why the world does not get it. Less of me and more of you, John 3:30 principle.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Anything you want to say about that, Letitia?
You know, I want to say that in your marriage, we've problematized. We're about to read, Yolanda just sent a message about how the world pins men and women against each other. I think that's the crux of her message. If you understand that we're constantly being pinned against one another, then you would know that it's okay to be invested in your marriage, in the sense that, like our message said, our voice note that we just had, it's okay to talk about what you want. I mean, I know, Danny, you and I have talked about my appearance. Why? Because it is my responsibility as a wife to at least know what my husband wants and then to make efforts to looking how you want me to look, and vice versa. Yeah. We've had conversations about your appearance. Yes. And these things that are loving and should be done in a loving way and should be communicated in a loving way are being distorted because of how society has pinned us against each other. Yolanda's message actually says, it says, hi guys, I just was thinking about this topic this morning. Society has confused men so much. On the one hand, there's feminism, and on the other hand, we want compassion, etc. So important to sift through the lies and know our roles in Christ. I think what also impacts women and their time to take care of themselves is the pace of life and the expectations society has and they place on themselves and their shoulders. Juggling work and home and life, or even you only at home, life is busy, and as a woman, we tend to put everyone else's well-being before ours. Danny, remember when we once said, if you want your wife to dress up, take her to a place where you dress up?
Yeah.
Because in everyday life, you can't just be looking like a, what's that cartoon with the lady with that tall leggy? You can't be looking like that all day. We need spaces where we can express those parts of ourselves as couples.
To sum it up, guys, to the guys listening, if you take your wife to a restaurant versus if you take her to eat fast food, she'll dress herself up accordingly. You know, so sometimes people want something, but they're not setting the grounds for it. You know, and that becomes a problem. Someone just said, morning, I personally think before we enter into marriage, both parties should be asking God to help us renew our minds daily.
Absolutely.
And asking God for his guidance every step of the way. The same applies for all married couples. That one came in from Brett. And then another one here, Celeste, I love your show. The topics you discuss are so important and also relevant. I'm a single mother of a son who has had no contact with his father. In order to prepare him for his role, I always tried to include him in decisions that affect him, aligned with his age, of course. I discussed reasons for making certain decisions, and he would have a conversation about that. He's now 16, and he has an air of authority about him. All praise to the Holy Spirit for wisdom. My name is Celeste, by the way.
Thank you so much for all your messages. We appreciate it. And as we're almost coming to the end of the show, keep sending the final ones in so that we can talk more on these discussions. I think what's important that we've really been trying to press is, do not allow the world into your house. the word of God governs your house. And if in that house, we're now talking about appearance, that babe, this is what makes me attracted to you. It's not a case of being patriarchal or walking over anybody, but we've got so many unhappy marriages, guys. Let's just be honest. People are unhappy. I can love you, but not be attracted to you. Now, how can I communicate to you that I love you, but I'm no longer attracted to you? Wouldn't you want to change that? It's time to have honest conversations in our marriage and not allow the world to dictate how we see a God thing.
I don't know, Letitia. I love this. Just the sound of this music. Waiting, Lauren Daigle. Wow. Very jazzy with scripture. Ties it all together. Lady V, how do we close off this show?
I think we close off. It's been a two-part series. And remember, if you want to see the series again, you can find it on our social media platforms. We've got a YouTube channel. Just look for Surviving Life with the Vambilis. You can watch these episodes again. We had two parts. Last week was men. This week is women. To close off both parts, I would say, please make sure what's happening in your home is guided by the Holy Spirit, your personal relationships with God, and not all these narratives from outside. Because remember, the world is not trying to build you, and it's not pro-marriage. Look around, you know? The enemy is always attacking marriage. The world is carnal. If you want to hear about marriage from the world, you're going to hear the worst things. And so the encouragement is to say, let us be renewed in our minds in how we think about marriage. And let that be the truth of our households and not what's happening outside.
A message just came in from Stephen. It says, marriage is not about love. It's about duties and not selfish desires. As much as Jesus loved the church, he did not hold back when people did business in the church, and that too was out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Often people think love is what we see in Hollywood, yet true love is totally the opposite.
You know what, Stephen? You're saying something I wanted to say earlier in the show. Thank you for bringing it back to cognizance. When I say we are not outside of our context, I'm also talking about definitions. When we say submission, everyone panics because the world's definition of submission is so bad.
It's abuse.
It's abuse. But can we please go into scripture and see God's definition of submission and how we're called to submit to one another? And I would put this on the word love as well. Stephen, you've just described agape love. You've described God's love for the church. And that's the kind of love we should have in our marriages anyway. Let's stop introducing these false definitions. Find your definitions in scripture and it will help guide your home and your relationships.
So for those of you who maybe are listening for the first time, this show is called Surviving Life with the Vambilis. And we are on every Wednesdays, 11 to 1. But we normally start the show on Tuesday evening from 6 to 6:30. What is our topic for next week?
Next week, we're talking about reading the times. Tune in as usual. Listen, we've become so world-focused that the spirit man needs to breathe, needs to drink. Okay, so we're talking about how the sons of Issachar and the wise men and all these people knew how to see what God was saying by reading the tiniest signs. And we're going to talk about how we've ignored a lot of the signs in modern day society for what God is actually saying, or even in our families. So tune in more for that next week. Remember, the conversation starts Tuesday evening, 6 to 6:30 p.m.
And then this is someone's message. This is amazing, guys. With the social narrative teachings and sowing seeds to destroy them in marriage before they ever begin. Getting married in this time seems like taking a walk in a war zone filled with landmines, yet dressed
as
a beautiful garden. Thinking of a second marriage is such a dread. Thank you for such a fresh perspective. You know, I believe God has his way. I even believe a lot of people who are divorced should not have been divorced. Instead, I believe that we don't even know how to fight for marriage anymore, because that's even painted as being weak.
Yes, you're weak if you fight for your marriage. Can you guys believe what the world is doing? We need a God perspective. Do not be afraid to fight for your marriage. It does not make you weak. It's what we're called to do. It's sacrificial. I think that's what we forget to say, right?
Yeah.
Society doesn't talk too much about the sacrificial aspect of marriage. May we all be sacrificial. The man in the marriage, the woman in the marriage, it makes for a beautiful, godly home.
And may we protect ourselves from these narratives. Begin to see them for what they are, because if you buy into them at some point, they will destroy what God is trying to beautifully build into your life. We love you so much. Thank you for joining us at Surviving Life with the Vambillies. We really hope you were blessed. And yeah, we'll see you on Monday. You can tune in and catch Letitia on Soul Circles from 11 to 1, right here on 103 FM.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.